Big Talk Nation. Welcome back to another episode of the Big Talk Podcast. Why are you laughing already, Greg?
Because it's been a minute and I haven't seen you, man. I'm smiling because I'm...
He hasn't been able to hug me.
Yeah.
Greg, I don't know how he hugs everybody else when he... You know, usually you do the reach under hug, but he'll do the reach down and cheek it up.
Hey.
He'll do the cheek hug.
That was personal. You weren't supposed to say that, man.
You've done it in public, so...
Damn it.
I actually saw it on the internet.
Saw you on the internet
cheek hugging me. Welcome back to another episode, guys, of the Big Talk Podcast with Chris and Greg. This is Chris.
This is Greg.
And this is Megadeth. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. The almighty Megadeth.
Okay, well, I didn't go that far, but
well, yes. You tell me to do that every episode. This is Megadeth, the brainchild of one Dave Mustaine.
All right.
This is their second studio album. Peace sells, but who's buying?
Woo.
Lead off track, Wake Up Dead. I could talk like this all day if you want me to.
All right, guys. And also, this is week three of our heavy metal month.
Week three, heavy metal month. Let's see. Week one, Pantera, Cowboys yes. from Hell. Week two, Testament, The New Order. Week three, Megadeth, Peace Sells, But Who's Buying?
Woo.
Greg, give him a little taste. Who's coming up week four?
Overkill.
That's right, guys. Overkill, The Years of Decay. Maybe the most underrated thrash album of all time. I don't know. They'll probably maybe banned. All right, let's talk about Megadeth because that's what we're doing today.
Oh, yeah, man. This is a great way to start off this album, dude.
Oh, I got...
Wake up, Dead. Go ahead,
Hold up. I got something I got to say.
All right.
Guess what we got, Greg?
What do we got?
We got ourselves a sponsor for this episode.
Right
here. Rise Golf Company. Right here. These are their hats they got out. I'm going to put it on right now.
Let's do it.
Rise Golf Company, sponsoring this episode of the Big Talk Podcast with Chris and Greg.
Hell yeah.
Go to their website, risegolfco.com, and you can find them on Instagram at risegolfco. Go to their website, order some apparel, go play some golf. Dude, I know Greg likes to play with balls, but not golf balls.
I like to play mini golf.
He likes to play mini golf because, yeah. mini clubber likes to mini golf.
That's it.
Let's get back on track. By the way, guys, go back. This hat is great, dude. I love it, dude. It's got a little string right here, dude. It's 80s style. Like, I feel like I got to be out on a boat.
Whoa.
Like a sailboat or something. I love it, dude.
They want you on the golf course, man. So we got to do the golf course, man.
Hold up, dude. Let me drink some more energy drink.
All right,
guys. Let's go. Track one, Wake Up Dead. Great opening track. It's kind of... I don't know, dude. For kind of what I was thinking I was going to get from the cover of the album, it's got, you know, Vic Rattlehead, who's the mascot, in front of the UN building. You know, he's been totally obliterated. He's got the sign out that says for sale. You know, like he's going to sell the land because he sells, but who's buying? But I just didn't... Obviously, the topic of the song is he's out messing around. He's trying to sneak back into his house. If he gets caught by his woman... He's going to wake up dead. So the topic to me is kind of off what I thought I was going to get. But, you know, now that I've listened to it millions of times, you know, it kind of just goes with the album. And you know, I don't really think about it anymore. But the first time I listened to it, I was kind of like, huh, that's not what I thought I was going to get with Megadeth.
You know, on this second album that these guys did, I think there was a couple of songs like left over. I think it was this one, The Conjuring, and Wake Up Dead were from the session of... Killing Is My Business. The Business Is Good. I think they were just kind of left over, and then that's a great way just to continue this album, second album. You know, like they always said, is you have a lifetime to write your first album, but your second album, you got 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I think these guys did great on it, man. They mastered it, and this is just, it came out as a killer album. This definitely is a staple in the thrash records, you know, that are out there, man.
This is my favorite Megadeth album. I know a lot of people like Rust in Peace.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I like this one better. This one, I kind of like it. Like, it's like right on the verge of them, because the Rust in Peace is a really polished album.
Yes.
And I kind of like this is still kind of rough around the edges a little bit. And
sure.
I really like that. It's kind of, I think, goes great with their sound.
Heck yeah, man. That's good stuff, man. From Megadeth, this is just great. you know, they had a great team between Gar, the drummer, and Chris on guitar. You know, Dave and Dave on bass and other guitars. They just kicked ass, good name. This was kind of like the classic lineup for the first two albums of Megadeth, and they had a sound, and they truckered through, and dude, it was great. It really is a classic album when listening to it.
Yeah. And you brought up a good point. We should go through the members.
All right.
Dave Mustaine on guitar, lead vocals, lead and rhythm. Dave Ellison on bass and backing vocals. Chris Poland on lead and rhythm guitar. A little bit of backing vocals, maybe. It doesn't say here, but he probably maybe screamed in there. And Gar Samuelson on drums. Gar, what an underrated drummer.
Right?
And one of the things, I don't know if everybody knows, but I thought that everybody did know. Chris Poland and Gar Samuelson, they don't really come from a heavy metal thrash background. They came from they did a lot of jazz and jazz fusion stuff. And once you know that, and you start listening to the music, some of the stuff they do, you're like, oh. Like when you go in looking for it, you can find it. And knowing that kind of made the music to me a little better. Because then you're like, oh, that wasn't just something from thrash metal. That sounded like something from somewhere else.
Yes, definitely.
So they definitely brought some of their stuff, some of the guitar work, a lot of the drumming, the fills. You can definitely hear Gar bring that kind of jazzy kind of thing to the table.
I totally thought that too, and I thought that these guys, when they were talking about, because I saw a few documentaries on, you know, the killing, P-Cells, they were talking about how they felt that when they went and they listened to the music again, that it was more complex than they originally thought. And it just sounded great, man. I was totally loving it. I think it's, like I said, this is a great thrash album. It just keeps on going, man. Especially the songs like this.
Yeah, we didn't
the
even...
Conjuring, man.
The Conjuring. What a, you know, cult, witchcraft.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff is definitely black magic. Is you know, definitely kind of the theme of this song. I love it. It's great. It's definitely got that chug along feel. It's got a lot of different things in there. This is this song is a love it or hate it kind of song. A lot of people are like, I don't like it. I think it's great. I think all the songs on here are great. I have nothing else to say about it, dude.
Yeah, no, there was just a lot of good stuff about it, man. I'm ready if you want to move on to the next song.
Yeah, let's go.
And, you know, we'll start off. This is just classic, dude. Did you hear this? You know what you're getting with this, man.
MTV News.
Yeah, MTV News, man. This song three on the album, which we usually talk about, Peace Sells. Damn.
Love it. I remember seeing this video on MTV at my grandma's house. It's got that like flashing between like two scenes, like back and forth, which is gonna make you go to like some kind of epileptic thing from, you know, the lights going, you know, back and forth, especially towards the end with all the symbols that start going. I just watched this video a couple days ago. Man, this is the one that really put them on the map.
Yes.
This is the song that broke them through. This is the song that made them worldwide stars. And rightfully so. You know what they say when they were making the song? They're writing it. They kind of knew this is the song that's going to do it for us. They kind of had that feeling that this was the one that was going to do it for them.
Did you know Megadeth before this album?
Well, my brother.
Oh, he did?
So, yeah, my brother. Oh, okay. My brother is a big thrash guy. And he had their first album. He knew all about all these bands before I did.
This was my first hearing of Megadeth. And then I found out that Dave was part of Metallica. And I was like, what? And then if you look on their first album, you can see, you know, there's a couple of writing credits to Dave. And I was like, holy shit. So I never got into Killing Is My Business, but this album I got into.
Yeah.
And I love it. Like I said, the video, this is a staple. This saying, peace out, still works today in the media or anywhere else you're saying, because there hasn't been peace, and it doesn't seem that there ever will be, but what do we know, right? Hopefully there's peace.
This song right here, this single went gold. 500,000 copies were sold of the single alone. Let me go back for a quick thing.
All right.
I got a lot of factoids, especially per song, because this is such an iconic album.
Yes.
Wake Up Dead, track one. publication Louder Sound named Wake Up Dead the 7th best Megadeth song, and Billboard said this was number 3. Well, it was a critic's pick. Number 3 was Wake Up Dead. Nothing for The Conjuring, Peace Sells. Billboard, critic's pick, say this is the number 1 Megadeth song of all time. Return of Rock ranked this the number 2 song of all time. And Louder Sound, number 4. So this is one of their most iconic songs.
Definitely.
The one they're going to play in every show. This is just great. I like how it, you know, outros out here. A little solo action. And one of the things that was great about this band is that Chris Pullen and Dave Mustaine, they weren't just one rhythm and one lead. They were both doing rhythm. They were both doing lead. And most of the times within the same song, they would, you know, because obviously with Megadeth, there's multiple solos, there's multiple riffs, there's multiple time changes, there's multiple, all these things with the guitar, and within the song, they're trading back and forth. And I was watching an interview today with Randy Burns, who did production and engineering on the album. I was listening to it yesterday, and he was like, yeah, they pull back and forth on every song on this album. Just remembers them, they just back and forth. And so I was like, oh, let me watch some live. So I went and watched some live footage of them too. And yeah,
I didn't see any live stuff.
Both of them, not really like trading back and forth. It's like one does a solo, he does the whole solo. It's not like a back and forth trading off. And not a lot of like dual guitar work either.
Okay.
Usually they got the rhythm going on and then the one lead. Man, it was great to hear something like that where you don't have the one guy that's out front. You can give credible. Because Chris Pullen is an amazing guitarist. Honestly, better player than Dave. He's a better guitar player than Dave Mustaine. I don't think anybody would argue that. So it's nice to see both of them on this album be able to do parts of it, dude. I loved it.
But you know what? Too bad it didn't really work out after this album, you know what I mean? And the tour. So I think Gar and Chris both took off because I know they're on the next album.
Yeah, they kind of got let go. I think drug problems. They were too deep.
Everybody's
too deep, dude.
Enjoying their...
This is this might be my deep track of the album. I really like this one.
It really resonated with me too on that one.
A song,
especially that right now, that first part, you hear the little bass going through.
Headphones,
killer.
You can Elvis's bass is definitely comes through. Underrated bass player, really comes through here on this album. Devil's Island song. I mean, this one's pretty simple to kind of get just by reading the lyrics. Guy on death row, thinks he's gonna die, and then gets pardoned, gets his life spared, but now he realizes he's gotta spend the rest of his life on Devil's Island. So I guess it's kind of a bittersweet situation.
Right, exactly.
One of the things I love, and we've talked about this a lot in a lot of the other albums we've done, particularly LA Guns, I love the chorus on this, the gang style on this. I love it.
But you know what? Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
True.
But on this one and this song, and whatever words they're singing, works totally. That game. Yeah. Vocals of, you know, Devil's Island. It works.
Yeah. There was some of that on the Testament album as well.
Yes.
Vocals. This song is great, dude. It really, you know, a lot of these songs, they chug along. The riffs are pretty killer. Dave's growling vocals are, I mean, it's not as much as P-Cell's, but he's definitely got his own vocal style. And I don't think that anybody's going to sit here and say I don't think anybody listens to Megadeth for his vocal styles, but his vocal styles are very original. No one else is singing like this. Kind of gives Megadeth a little bit of identity.
Oh, yeah.
Beyond, hey, listen to this, dude. Dude, just fuck it. The riffs are just killer, dude.
As musicians, these guys are on point, man. You know, they're good. They're not lying. Man.
Sometimes I feel, the only drawback I have with Megadeth is sometimes I feel like, I don't want to sound like a dick, but I'm gonna anyways. Sometimes when they're trying to play, it sounds like they're trying to play as fast as they can, the guitar. And sometimes it turns into sometimes a hot mess. Sometimes they're just like, okay, chill out, guys. That was fast, but it was okay.
But sometimes I get that from them.
But do you think that's when they work with a producer? That's when the producer would have to come in and work and spin his magic, say, all right, guys, a little faster. Now let's slow it down a little bit. So you're shot on that.
He got that apex mountain of thrash.
Yeah?
Probably the point is like, I would say 88 to 90, maybe 91, sort of in that area. So this is like the hill is coming up. So we gotta get up that. Megadeth, we gotta get up there to the apex. We gotta be faster than anybody. So I'm wondering if kind of they were like,
yeah,
nope, let's go. And I do know that Dave and the producer had a really good working relationship.
Okay.
Dave, he said nothing but great things about Dave. Consummate professional, was always ready to go. Not a prima donna, which I used to kind of get that vibe from him, but kind of like listening to what everybody says about him, I guess he really wasn't like that. I've always kind of gotten that vibe about Dave, like it's my way or the highway, but he was really a consummate professional. Of course, with the writing credits, he gave everybody the Ozzy and Ronnie James Dio treatment. I did it all. So, but besides that, you know, from what I've heard, you listen to this, dude.
Yeah.
Great tone, dude.
Right? That was the other thing. And I think we've talked a lot about this because sometimes these musicians, they are in their tone. They want to hear and sound the best, not just throw any crap out.
You know what? If you didn't have headphones, you wouldn't hear Gar on that cymbal. Right there. That just adds another. All those little things that you don't think of that unless, okay, so we obviously when we're getting ready for an episode, me personally, I've probably listened to this album a dozen times.
Yeah.
At least. So you start being able to have that opportunity to pick those little things out. Like, well, I'm going to listen to, you know, once you've listened to the album like three or four times, like, okay, I'm going to listen for the bass. I'm going to listen for this. Listen to the drums. Like, that's the instrument I'm going to concentrate on. So you kind of start to pick it. It just makes the song better and better and better and better and better. And right there, you heard it. You know, ting, ting. You can hear it in the back. And if you don't have headphones, guys, headphones and full albums. I'm going to preach it till the day we die.
Right? So just saying about that, right? We just heard four killer songs, right? Everything was good. Everything was fast. Everything was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pull this out. Good morning. Right?
Good morning, Black Friday. I love it, dude.
It's just a great element to them not just throwing out thrash music. This is being a musician and saying, you know, they're not writing a ballad, but they're just writing an intro to something.
You know?
And you know, and it sounds awesome, man.
I really... I really got to give it to Metallica because I think they kind of made it okay with
instrumentals
like Fade to Black.
Okay.
You know, where we kind of slow it down a little bit. And so I think they made it okay for thrash bands to kind of go, okay, maybe we can slow it down a little. I think that they kind of, you know, made it okay because they were, you know, pretty much leading the charge almost the whole time. You know, they were the first, like, larger than life thrash band.
Yes.
So they were always the one. So everybody kind of, oh, they did it? Okay, it's okay. We've been wanting to do it. We didn't know if it was okay. And I kind of feel like they led
the
way. I had
this in my back pocket. And
yeah.
But this is what this sounds like. And it, like I said, that just that intro was awesome for them to say, hey, we're musicians.
Yeah.
This is what we can also do. You know?
I see, hear that guitar? It's not fast. It's
thought out to the feel of the song.
Somebody in this band definitely listened to Black Sabbath. It's not tuned down, but it's got that, like that boom, 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 like Black Sabbath kind of cadence, kind of feel to it. And then we go right in. We're going to go Black Friday, dude. I mean, what a... If you sit there and read the lyrics on this song, you're kind of like, huh, like very interesting. Basically, you know, talking about murdering people and hacking them up and chopping them to pieces. So I guess that's why this one got the sticker. Got the parental guidance, you know, warning sticker.
Well, when you have...
See, and then right here, they change it up again.
Yeah.
So this is like, really like the third... We heard the nice beginning. Then we just heard that intro. Now we're going into this. Totally different
timing. So, you know, it may have got the sticker because some of the words in their with the name of the title of the songs, you know, Wake Up Dead, The Conjuring, Devil's Island, Bad Omen. Like, you're the words that are like, hey, wait, why do you have that? Let's put a sticker on it. That type of stuff. And what happens when you put those stickers on it? Millions.
I love it.
2 million. 3 million. I don't think P-Sales has gotten sold 3 million. I think it's in the, I'm going to say 1 to 2.
That's what?
1 to 2 million.
I think it's 1.
All right.
I think it's 1, but I think I've maybe heard 2 or saw something about 2, but my go-to source said 1. Did you know they have not performed the song live since 1991? When Dave kind of went Christian, you know, was reborn, getting Christian, kind of a thing. There's another song on here I'm going to have to go back and look. Another song that didn't perform for like 18 years. I think it was Bad Omen. I think it might be the other song. Or Conjuring. It's one of those two. But this one, they haven't played since 1991. Did you know when Kerry King played with them briefly in 1984, came up and kind of, you know, they needed a guitar player?
Yes.
And
they were in between guitar players.
Yeah, he came up and played with them a little bit, you know, and this was one of the songs they played. But since 91, they haven't played this. And,
So when I heard the story, just to elaborate
on... Let me ask you this, dude. So they just had the... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. So 25, 26, 27, 28. So in a couple years, it's going to be like the 30th anniversary.
All right.
40th. 40th anniversary. Are they going to go through and go and play this whole album? And if so, is he going to have to play this? 40th anniversary,
maybe.
You got to go.
You got. Oh, yeah. I was also going to say elaborate on the Kerry King was... Kerry King, he said that... Dave said this. It was an interview. That he was in between... Kerry was in between Slayer. Like, he was like, I'm not really liking it anymore. And he goes, I'm going to hang out with you guys. So, you know, he went on... I guess he said they did a couple of shows with him. I think 4 or 5. And at one show, they were like talking, oh, Kerry King, you know, Slayer. We love Slayer. And he was like, you guys do? He goes, okay, well, after I'm done with this, I'm going to go back to Slayer. And that's kind of where it was. Kerry was thinking about taking off from Slayer, but when meeting fans, you know, oh my God, Megadeth, Slayer, we love you. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going back to Slayer.
That's
the thing he did. You know?
Yeah, dude, listen to that, dude. The gang chorus again. Yeah. Ripping, dude. What is this? Yeah.
This has like a different style of chug, you know?
Both of those, Louder Sound and Billboard both have this as the number 9 Megadeth song.
Wow.
Which is surprising to me.
They have a spanning career, dude.
Yeah. I mean, they have so many albums. It's like, really? This is number 9? Okay. All right.
If you want to go back and listen to them all.
I know, right? We'll just let this one play out.
All
6 minutes and 41 seconds of it.
It's definitely worth it.
Woo!
Yeah.
Okay, so The Conjuring was the song. They didn't play it for 17 years.
Oh, okay.
2018 was the first time they had played it since 2001.
Fucking awesome, man. But I love it when bands do that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, hey, we haven't played this song in a while. People have asked for it. They love it. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of... do something like that.
Yeah, but I also gotta respect Dave for sticking to his convictions. Like, it's not really what I'm about anymore, personally.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I get
no,
it, dude.
No, don't get me wrong. When bands have a catalog that big, it's like, you know what? You know, just what Nikki says about, you know, Too Fast for Love. He's like, we don't, you know, that's not us now. That was us then, not us now. But still, yeah. Bands go back and say, I wrote it. I was angry. Yeah, I was going through this. I'm not that dude anymore. This is what I'm about. And they, you know, sing this. All right, what are we listening to right now?
Bad Omen.
Right. Song number 6.
Song 6. You know, another kind of, you know, witchcraft, black magic. I get, even, you know, they talk about the devil a bunch of times in here. So even like a satanic song, I don't think, you know, here,
like Dave, I believe he said something along these lines. We're aware of all these things we're writing about. We're not promoting them. We're just writing about them. We're not. We're aware. We don't do them. So, but man, you know, isn't that? See, this is this whole part. Gar and Chris Pullen bringing that to. This is not thrash metal sound. This is like a jazz fusion sped up to thrash speed.
Oh, okay, yes.
Like, listen to that. Listen to the drums when you guys listen to the song. It's just like, he's like, he's like all, I just see him playing with a smile. Like, it's just so different. I mean, Megadeth was all over the place sometimes. They had a lot of different stuff going on, but this one, this particular song right here is really one that kind of, I think, shows what those two really brought to the sound of the band, especially on this album.
Have you thought that if you look at the album as a whole, all, you know, eight songs, the first four songs are pretty heavy, right? And fast. If you look at the next four songs, it looks like it's not as fast, but it's more heavy. Like you're talking
like,
to them.
Like heavy subject, like kind of like a...
In a sense, but like the second half of
doom.
The album is a little more... Yeah, doom is a great word for that.
Let's slow it. Let's, instead of 11, let's turn the speed down to like 8.
Yeah.
But let's dial up the doom to like 11.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then we're right back on it right here, dude. Yeah. Listen to this. Fucking forget it, dude.
Yeah. Our ears are melting, bro. That's how good it is, man. Damn. Yeah.
Boom, boom. That's great stuff right there, dude. Listen to the riff, dude. Like, I mean, I can move my wrist that fast, but I've never tried it when playing guitar. You ready to go?
Yeah. Dude, go ahead and read the next one.
Woo! That was killer, dude. I Ain't Superstitious cover song. Willie Dixon, I believe, wrote this. See, they definitely Megadethify it.
Exactly. That's what I meant to say, too, if and you can tell them on that one.
So when I was listening to this, I said, okay. Because I was somewhat familiar with Willie Dixon. I know that I believe the original recording was Howlin' Wolf did this song. So I was like, okay, I'm familiar with this because my dad was really big into the blues music. So like Magic Slim, Howlin' Wolf, Muddy Waters, Robert Johnson, that kind of stuff. I mean, I had my brother one ear was thrash. I had dad blues on the other ear. So I got a lot of that stuff. So I go, all right, I'm going to go back. I'm going to listen to a bunch of other versions of this song. And they're all so different. Jeff Beck even in there. I mean,
okay.
There was a session that had, I believe it was Eric Clapton, Howlin' Wolf, Steve Winwood, all together. I think it was the Howlin' Wolf London session, something like that. So you got a different, and they were all different. One's a little more rockin', one's a little more bluesy, one's really to the original, one, you know, all these things. You listen to this one, it's like, this is Megadeth doing it. It's almost like this song, everybody that's doing it is doing their own way.
Yes.
It's kind of like, do it. Everybody's doing it their own way, and I love this. They do a great job. It's obviously not a Megadeth song. You can hear it right off the bat. You gotta know it's a cover. I mean, but man, they do a great job of it, dude. I love it, dude. The solo, the out solo on this thing is just killer, dude.
Exactly.
It's killer. But and it's a short little song. It's not even 3 minutes. I love it.
But that's the thing is the band, you know, we played so fast. We're doing Devil's Island and we're doing Ain't Superstitious. It's just one of those things that, hey, these guys are great musicians and they could, they're just showing off. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
And I think they are. But I think they did it well. Like you said, they Megadeth defied it, you know?
Yeah.
Awesome.
See, and you can tell it's just got that blues feel to it.
Yeah, they still have,
like, the backbeat is there. The Gar and
Chris
Dave Ellison
are
really, the backbeat, they're really holding that blues backbeat together.
Oh, definitely, man.
Chris and Dave, go up front, do whatever you want to do on your guitars. Yeah. We're going to hold it back here. Like, I see, this is the one song where he's like this, instead of like, this is what usually Ellison's doing on the bass. He's just like, what the fuck's going on here, dude? This is the one who's like,
That's what I see in my own head.
Yeah.
I doubt that's what's happening, but that's what I see.
Same thing. Last song, right?
Yes.
Listen to this. Just the intro to this. Oh, my God. How great is this?
Yeah, dude.
Different sound, and it just – now it's just feeling like it's just going to come, and we're going to kick your ass right now. Watch. Hold on. They're just doing a great job. Love this.
Track eight, right?
Yeah.
Track eight, My Last Words. I'm literally – you just look this song up. It's about somebody playing Russian roulette, which we all know what that is, and the feeling of actually playing that and – these could be your last words. What a crazy subject to write about, dude.
Right?
Right? Isn't that?
Hey, before we move on, do you want to do some business?
Hold up, dude.
Yeah. Shut up, solo.
I know, right? That's a killer intro solo.
Yeah.
You know where you can get a hold of us? At
right.
BigTalkCG.podcast on Instagram and TikTok. YouTube, the Big Talk Podcast with Chris and Greg. That's Greg with three G's. One in the front and two in the back, just like he's gripping my cheeks.
Yeah.
With this. He comes over like that, dude, through the arms, under the arms. And instead of this, like, oh, Chris, it's good to see you. It's like,
people are going to expect this from me, man. I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to have to do it to a few people.
Downward cheek hug.
Ladies.
You can't do that.
Damn
2024. You can't even say that. You're canceled.
I can say it.
What else was I saying? Oh, yeah. Heavy metal month.
Yes.
Week three. We got Overkill coming next week. Rise Golf Company, guys, right here. Rise Golf Co. .com at Rise Golf Co. on Instagram. Check it out. Go to their website. Buy a bunch of shit.
Yeah, they got some great apparel, man.
Make them rich.
Windbreakers.
They got to be able to go golfing, right?
Right.
I figure that the money that people buy stuff goes straight into like their golfing account, so they can just go golf. That's what I'm seeing in my head. We don't need money. We just want to pay to go golf.
Those dirty guys.
We sold the hat. We can go golfing.
There you go. Hey, these guys on their website have windbreakers, have hoodies, have shirts, bucket hats, beanies, and also these killer golf hats. Go check them out. Go buy something. Support these young gentlemen, entrepreneurs. Thanks, Jacob, Tyler, Kevin, and my son, Dan. We love you guys, man. Once again, thank you.
Megadeth, dude, my last words. What a way to end an album.
Yeah.
I love it. The bookends on this one are great. It makes you want more, dude. You could have added a couple more tracks on this. I think that would have been great. But a lot of thrash albums were a little bit shorter during this time. I don't really have much more to say, dude. Great album, iconic album. I think their best album, my favorite album. A top 10 thrash of all time album. I'd probably slip it into that top 5. I just love it.
Yeah.
Love it to death. Thank you, JJ, for introducing Megadeth to me at such a young age and opening the door to thrash for me. Love it. I got nothing else to say.
All right.
Megadeth forever.
There you go. Hey, one more thing, Chris, and I just figured it out, or I just heard this when I was doing my homework. So Dave Mustaine said that he was sitting across the United Nations building at a barbecue spot, and he kind of looked over and said, hey, as an album cover, what if we, blew up the United Nations building and we put Thick Rattlehead holding up for sale sign, and it just says peace sells.
Yeah.
That was his idea.
Yeah.
As he was having some barbecue, enjoying it. And I thought, that's fucking great, because this is a classic album cover and it stands out. And
it's one of the most iconic album covers of all time. For sure, dude. And what a great story to go along with it. I love it. I think it's one of the best.
All right, guys. This is Greg from the Big Talk Podcast with Chris and Greg. See ya! Woo!